Urban Media Today talks sports with Ray Porter Jr., Vince Butts, Trevin A. Jones, and Alan Lincoln on Urban Media Today Radio.
Urban Media Today talking sports. And this is our sixth show. And we're here every Saturday, so make sure you check us out. Trevin A. Jones with Vince Butts and Ray Porter Jr. and Alan Lincoln, the big guy. Today we're going to start off talking about college football. Why? Because tomorrow the final setup is going to be announced in reference to the college football playoffs. And it's going to be interesting to see who you guys think should be or what your final four would look like, your top four. I'm mad at this whole thing, so we'll talk about that later. But right now, with the new seedings that came out last Tuesday, I want to hear what you guys think about the seeding situation. Now, you know we had upsets last weekend. So in at number one on Tuesday was Clemson, 11-1, Oklahoma, 11-1, Wisconsin, 12-0, Auburn at 10-2. That was the top four. Ray, I'm going to start with you. What would your top four look like if you were setting up the playoff situation at this point in time?
Yeah, it is interesting that you asked me first because you've known how I felt about Clemson.
Yep.
For six straight weeks, I have said they did not belong in the top four. And for six straight weeks, they have proven me to be a liar, so I have thrown the white flag. I would honestly keep them at number one, Wisconsin at number two. And for the main reason is, fact is, they're undefeated, and they've proven their mettle throughout the season.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, Oklahoma. I mean, again, another team that may not have gotten all the attention, but they've earned it. And then number four, yes, Auburn. You know, they pulled off the upset against Alabama, and they deserve it. So I like that top four.
So you got Clemson, Wisconsin, then Oklahoma, and then Auburn?
I do.
Okay. What about you, Vince?
I struggle with Clemson and Auburn being that top seed. I'm going to go with Auburn, and probably not too many people are going to, you know, going to agree with me. But Auburn has wins in the last few weeks against Georgia and Alabama. Clemson does have a win over Auburn early, which could give them the nod. But I'm going to go with Auburn 1, Clemson 2, Oklahoma number 3, and Wisconsin at number 4. Despite them being 12-0, their resume just doesn't impress me. If they go out today and beat Ohio State, then I will move them up to number one.
So you have Auburn at number one. You have Clemson at number two.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have Oklahoma, and then you have Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Wow. Big guy.
Clemson number one, Oklahoma number two, Georgia number three, because Georgia's going to beat Auburn this week, and Alabama number four. I don't believe Wisconsin is in the top four, and I think that Ohio State will beat them today. So my top four are Clemson, Oklahoma, Georgia, and Alabama.
Man, you guys are drinking the Kool-Aid. I'm one of those guys where I'm mad at the NCAA right now because you didn't just take the FCS template and that make that your playoffs. Because you cannot have a championship playoff and have an undefeated team that's not even included in the playoffs. You can only play who's on the field. Now, you guys who like resumes, Vince, I get it, the toughness of the schedule. But again, if you're in college football at the FBS level, you can only play who's on the schedule. You will say, well, who did Central Florida play? They're 11-0. Look at the conference that they're in. That's a mid-major conference. Well, put them in another division then. Don't put them in the FBS series. If you want to be like that, then put them in another division. Because if you have, how much is it's 130 teams that are playing FBS football, mm-hmm. that have the opportunity to play for a bowl, and you go undefeated and you don't even get consideration? Look at TCU. TCU is 10-2. All right. Well, you have a number of schools that are 10-2. You got Auburn, 10-2. You got Ohio State, 10-2. Penn State, 10-2. It's hard to win in college football. That being said, my number one team would be, Ray, don't get mad at me. My number one team would be Clemson. My number two team would be Wisconsin. My number three team would be Auburn because they beat Alabama, who was the number one team, was undefeated. My number four team would be Central Florida because they're undefeated. How do you have a championship playoffs and call it the championship and you don't have undefeated schools in there?
All right, as a coach, aren't you responsible for scheduling games?
In response to that, It comes down to money. Right. They look at the schools that can make money. And I'm thinking, okay, if I'm Alabama, even though you put Mercer on the schedule, you know, you'll never get a shot at Alabama because you don't generate enough money for that game. Now, and when I'm talking about money, let's talk about the committee that makes these selections. You think they're not talking about money?
Would Central Florida be willing to travel?
If they want to win a championship, they'll have to travel. Right. These young cats are on the field playing football to win. You have a young man, 18 to 21, 22 years old. Mm-hmm. He joins your program. Why is he joining your program? He wants to win a championship. Mm-hmm. So now you have a school that you go through. Let's say you go through 4 years of undefeated seasons. You never get to play in a championship. Why? Because you're in a mid-major? Are you kidding me? Right now, I think that the committee is looking bad because if Alabama gets into this to the Final Four, it's because of money and the reputation.
And think about it. I mean, every sport has their cream of the crop team that they like to do whatever it takes for them to remain. And Alabama right now is that team.
Mm-hmm.
Years ago, it was Notre Dame. And if you leave it up to NBC, they'll still say it's Notre Dame.
Oh, without question, because mm-hmm. Notre Dame will give you TV coverage. You get people following you. That's dollars. I don't like that because I love college football. Those kids play for the love of the game, literally, because they're not getting paid any other way. Well, they're not supposed to be. You'd have an undefeated team. Did you see the game between Central Florida and South Florida last weekend? That game was lit, and they're mid-majors. So why shouldn't they get a shot at the national championship? My thing is this. I think that the committee and FBS football should just take the FCS template as far as the playoff is concerned. Use that as a template because you have more than four teams at the end of the day.
Well, I'm going to disagree with you.
Fine.
Not surprising. But if you look at South Florida's schedule,
mm-hmm.
they played Illinois, who was terrible in the Big Ten, Temple, the Minutemen of Massachusetts, Cincinnati Bearcats, Houston, Tulsa, and the UCF, Central Florida. And by the way, the score was 49-42.
That was a good game. Excellent game.
Now, the problem is that I think they need to go to a bowl game this year and play up.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they'll play Miami in a bowl game or somebody like that. And then once you've won one of those bowl games, it then propels you into the better division of college football and your ability to play. Maybe they play Notre Dame, and I'd love to see them beat up on Notre Dame, or play Penn State. And then you have some bragging rights going into next year that you're going to be considered a better team. I'm 100% behind Charlie Strong and what he's doing there, but it's a tough road to go against these multi-million dollar programs like Alabama and Auburn and Florida and Miami. So they need to win a big game, and hopefully in a bowl this year they'll get that opportunity.
I agree. I think that, you know, like this, like them going to a decent bowl outside of the college football playoffs to get to the next level, I mean, that does wonders down the road. You know, I mean, having recruits come in and we can say that we beat, you know, A, B, or C, not got thrashed because we were undefeated in a college football against Alabama. I don't think they're quite ready, but I think it'd be a nice stepping stone for their program in the future.
You know, something just popped in my head, gentlemen.
Oh, Lord.
Get ready for it. They remind me, UCF, they remind me of Boise State. Remember how they had their nice run? And it's a shame that they didn't get the recognition that Boise State got to have a shot to play for the championship. And then they fell off. They had their time, and they fell off. I remember when they even had a chance to join the Big East, which is weird. I mean, it would be a stretch if they did make it, UCF, but it would be impressive to see it just because of the fact that they are undefeated.
One thing that Vince said is he said, I think they're not ready. And what Allen said was they have to play up. Well, see, that leaves it to a personal opinion. When you're playing football, there's no personal opinion. It's the two teams that are on the field between the sidelines and between the goal lines. That's where I'm coming from. Now, if you're coming in there and you're 11-0, there's only two undefeated teams in all of FBS football. One is Wisconsin. The other is University of Central Florida. University of Central Florida doesn't have a chance to compete. See, It's that type of thinking that I'm against because you're not giving them the opportunity to compete. It means they don't have the opportunity to make that money, which means they don't have the opportunity to ever get to the level of an Alabama, of a Tennessee, of a Texas. Because why? Because you have people that are overseeing the sport that are saying, you haven't made it there yet. And not only have you not made it there yet, I'm not going to give you the chance because your program doesn't look good enough to me. My thing is, put them on the football field. So what, you get thrashed in a playoff, but you're playing for the championship. Champions rise to the top. You're not even giving me a chance to rise to the top because you're telling me I'm not a champion. Or if I am a champion, I'm only a champion at a certain level. That's what I'm against. And I think that all of us as football fans, you would love to see competitive games all the time, of course. But even with March Madness in basketball, you're going to have some lopsided victories. That doesn't take away from whoever ends up being the national champion, does it? I think that's unfair. Anything else, gentlemen? All right, so that's college football. What we're going to do is shift over to black college football. And black college football has been exciting. I mean, exciting. You just had the Bayou Classic this past weekend where Grambling State beat Southern 30-21 in a game which was very exciting because the Tigers, who haven't lost a conference game in 3 years, they had to come from behind to beat Southern. Devontae Kincaid was the MVP for the Bayou Classic. And with that win, Grambling State improves to 10-1. By the way, the Tigers are number one on our Urban Media Today Black College Football poll. Up next for the Tigers will be Alcorn State with Coach Fred McNair. The Braves are ranked number 9 on our Urban Media Today Black College Football poll. They're 7-4. The two teams will meet today in the Southwestern Athletic Conference's championship game in NRG Stadium in Houston. The thing about that game, gentlemen, it's the last time that the SWAC Conference will have a SWAC championship game. The winner of the Alcorn State Grambling State game today will advance to the Celebration Bowl, and Grambling State is looking to go to the back-to-back and become back-to-back National Black College Champions. Only thing standing in the way of the winner of this game will be North Carolina A&T, who is perfect with an unblemished record of 11-0. We'll see what happens there. So that's it for black college football.
Trevin, your opinion on Hampton leaving and joining the Southern Conference?
The funny thing is, Alan, I'm glad you asked. Hampton going to the Big South is scary. Hampton University is one of those schools that are known for good play. Football, especially football, and they help build the conference. Now, if you have part of the foundation starting to leave, I think that puts the Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference on a rocky foundation. Adding to that, Savannah State will be leaving the Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference by 2020. So that means now you're going to go from 11 teams and you'll be down to 9 teams in 2 years. Savannah State wasn't winning, so I mean, no disrespect to their program. But that's why they're going down to Division II, because they couldn't be competitive. So to answer your question, I don't think it's a good thing for the MEAC. I think that another school, maybe like a Winston-Salem State, which they tried before, should step up and join the conference to help make it more of a firm foundation. But I don't know if that would happen because they may not have the money. Or schools could start going down to the Division II level, because then it's not as much money. But then does that take away from it?
Well, the only thing in life that's constant is change. So mm-hmm. When somebody makes a change like that, I think they think it's for their what's best for their program. But why do you think Hampton wanted to move?
Hampton feels like moving to the Big South actually makes the competition a little bit better, and it makes it more diverse. They did say that they're not going to shy away from the classic rival like Norfolk State. What's scary, though, is the Big South, if you look at it, the geographics for the Big South is CIAA territory. When you're looking at North Carolina, Virginia, South Carolina, that's what the CIAA is. And the CIAA is another HBCU conference that recruits heavily in that area. So that might take away from what's coming to, again, from HBCUs, because now you got somebody in the Big South like a Hampton who's an HBCU. But then you have all the other opponents in that conference who are not HBCUs that might look to the same pool of talent. It'll be something interesting to watch, and I think it's a great question. We're going to come back right after this.
You're listening to Urban Media Today Radio, your station for classic soul, R&B, old school hip-hop, gospel, smooth jazz, and more. We're excited to add that we are your only source for your HBCU college football sports report with Trevin A. Jones. Your morning and afternoon commute is not the same with DJ Sergey Boogie and the Traffic Jam. Tune in 5 to 7 a.m. and 5 to 6 p.m. Listen in for your daily gossip inside the E-Report with yours truly, Kiki Brown. And don't forget about the Sunday Night Flashback with TJ, Sunday evenings at 5 p.m. Listen online at urbanmediatoday.com or download the TuneIn, Live 365, or Urban Media Today radio apps. They're free, so take us with you. It's Urban Media Today Radio.
And this is the part of the show where we get to interview a young man who's been through a lot. He overcame a lot of hard work. He overcame a lot of struggles earlier in life, and he made things happen. And it, actually, in him overcoming, he paid things forward. I'm talking about Thomas Wallace, who is the executive director of the Penn Hills YMCA. Thomas, welcome.
Thank you for having me. It's certainly a pleasure to be here.
The reason you're here, bro, we work together in the YMCA. You brought me on board at the home of Brushton YMCA, made me the membership manager, which is greatly appreciated. But you started out as a wellness manager.
I did.
And that was, wait, back in 2005?
Yeah, 2005 was my first year working for the YMCA as the Healthy Living Director.
All right, and you being the humble brother that you are, I'm going to go ahead and put this out there for you. The credentials are, he started at the Homer Brushton YMCA as the health and wellness manager. He then worked his way up to becoming the branch manager. That wasn't good enough. So he then went from becoming the branch manager and worked his way to the Borough YMCA. And for, I think from 2011 to 2015, he was the executive director. Correct?
I was the associate executive.
Director. And then I say that to say this, you then became the executive director at the Penn Hills YMCA. What's significant about that? Thomas, you're the first African-American to hold those leadership positions at those two YMCAs?
I am.
I told you he's humble. Listen, it's like I am. One word answers. I want you to talk about that. And then we're going to talk about why you're here.
Okay, absolutely. Yeah, working for the YMCA has been an extraordinary journey. Starting out as the Healthy Living Director down at the Homewood Brushton YMCA, I kind of fell into that job. And when I did, I learned over a period of time that I fell in love with doing the work that comes with that responsibility. And that is helping others. So my primary job was personal training and leading a group of personal trainers to deliver health and wellness to our Homewood community. And from there, like I said, I took it very seriously, was passionate about the work, and was recognized for that passion. And actually went through a couple of promotions at the Homewood branch to senior program leader, to branch manager, director of operations, ultimately led me to the Barrow Family YMCA, which is a huge YMCA. Just to give you an idea, it's a 75,000 square foot YMCA.
That's huge.
Indoor, outdoor swimming pool, 5 aerobic studios. They surplus about 125,000 a year annually in personal training.
Good Lord. Did you just say 125,000?
Yeah. And there I oversaw not only healthy living, but numerous departments at that YMCA. And I was the first African American in that seat of leadership. And that's where I realized that I was put there for a reason. And that was to be a trailblazer for those to come after me. Many have done it for me. This was my opportunity to pay it forward. So realizing that and the impact that I could have on a community from that seat of leadership, I took the next opportunity to go to the Penn Hills YMCA as the executive director.
That's significant because Kevin is the regional director now.
Kevin is the CEO.
Kevin is the CEO of the Greater Pittsburgh YMCA.
He is.
Wow. We're talking about Kevin Bolden. We both know him. That's why I say Kevin is what?
Yeah.
Kevin.
He was at Homewood with us.
Yeah, exactly.
For a period of time.
So now saying that, the reason he's here today is because he showed his members that he's about what he's preaching. He's about the programs that he has as his YMCA. I say that to say this. November 4th, he competed in his first ever bodybuilding competition. He finished first in the novice division and second in the open division. There was the OCB Steel City Natural Competition. So that meant that this was natural. And it's a pro qualifier for bodybuilding. Man, you got to talk about that.
Absolutely, man. That was a journey. It was something. So we talk about stretching ourselves to be able to continue to grow. So that's what I looked at it as. It was one of those things that had been on my bucket list. While I enjoyed working out, I was even being a personal trainer, I didn't find it's much like the mechanic who you see in the beat up raggedy car.
Okay.
Because they put all their attention and all their skill into helping other folks. They don't focus on themselves as much as they probably should.
Okay.
So while I did enjoy working out, I always took a back seat to the clients and those that I was helping. And as I begin to elevate through the ranks, you get busier with the meetings and the evening hours that you're putting in. You don't really have a set schedule. So realizing that, I decided to take some time and really put what I taught into action for myself and show others that no matter how busy you get, no matter what your schedule looks like, you can always take time to put some personal care back into it for yourself. And that ultimately led me to stretching myself further and further as I did with the career and just getting comfortable being uncomfortable.
Man. So, all right. So I'm about to get you to break this down for me in a second, absolutely. But I got to point this out. I'm going to kind of quote you a little bit. Motivation is the word. Response to motivation. He was told, wait till you become 30. I'm paraphrasing. Yeah. You'll slow down working out. Yeah. He said, nope, it didn't happen. Then I said, wait until you're 35. He said, nope, still didn't happen. Here Thomas Wallace is saying he's close to 40 and he's weeks away from his first show. And people ask, what keeps you motivated? His response, which is awesome. The 80-year-old plus active adult members at the YMCA that come through the door every day without a walker, cane, or any type of assistance. And as a matter of fact, they're still doing aerobics and walking and jogging and even doing resistance training. And Thomas, you said, I want to be like that.
That's it. You know, people look at these folks on TV and everything, and that's where they get their motivation from. And that's all good. My motivation came from the interactions with members and those members who walk in. I just lost both my grandparents in the last 2 years, and they were in their early 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm looking at these 80 and 90-year-olds, literally 80, 90-year-olds who had come in unassisted and be as active as some of the 60 and 50-year-olds in there, and through talking to them, they talk about the active lifestyles that they've always led. That's what motivated me to really get on board and say, all right, if they could put it in, I could certainly put it in. So that was my motivation. That was what encouraged me to say, all right, we as a people need to be more into our health and creating a healthy lifestyle, not only for ourselves, but to pass on to our children. And that was ultimately what came out of this, was a healthier lifestyle, not only for me, but for my family.
The discipline it takes, and I want you to talk about this, because I'm thinking immediately in my head, okay, you're looking at first bodybuilding competition. Okay, number one, you got to look at weight class. How does that work? Then you got to look at meal preparation, gym time, a workout partner if you have one, opposing coach, you know, tanning. But and then you talk about dieting and bodybuilding workouts. How is that different from regular workouts?
Oh, man. It's drastically different. So I was one of those guys, like I said, I enjoyed working out, but I go in the gym and just push around heavy weight, a 400 bench press, over 400 squat, and things like that was just commonplace. That's what we did in the gym. When you're talking about doing a bodybuilding show and a natural bodybuilding show, a lot changes. So I walk around between 195 and 200.
Okay.
For this bodybuilding show, I went on stage at 168.
People don't
get that. I haven't been 168 since high school.
That's 30 pounds right there.
Yeah, people don't understand how that happens, but you have to drop the body fat.
Okay.
You have to tone up the muscle, and it was certainly a stretch. I think the most challenging was the dieting. That's something that really, really challenges you. I was actually 8 weeks out from the show, and you talk about how family coming in this issue. I literally all but quit. Trevor, and I tell you this, my wife was the one who pushed me through. I was down in my game room, and I remember sitting next to my refrigerator, my beer fridge, and there's too much carbs and all that in there, so I couldn't have that. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm start thinking about the food that I wasn't supposed to be eating, and just how disciplined I've been, and a retreat that I had coming up for work, and having to prepare meals for it, and it just was at one of those points, one of those low points where I started questioning myself, why am I doing this?
Okay.
And it just so happened that I came upstairs, and my wife, we've meal prepped on Sundays. She helped me all the way through. We meal prepped on Sundays, and she said, well, what do you want to get started cooking? And I told her, I'm done. I'm not doing it.
Wow.
You know, forget about it. Don't even worry about meal prepping anything. She looked with this perplexed look on her face. I went back downstairs and came back up after some time, and she had everything laid out on the counter, and she said, you're not quitting.
Wow.
She said, you tell our kids they can't quit when they start something, and you can't quit either. And not only that, but she started working out with me, doing the actual workout with me that next week. So she was the biggest motivator. But when you talk about finding a coach and someone that set up those meals for you, that was very instrumental. And I found my coach, Dante, who was their friend and led me through that process.
Okay. Dante from the Y? From the Y too, right?
Dante. So okay. Dante did the same show, and Dante took, not the same show, November 4th, but he did OCB as well, and he took first place, his first show.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Okay.
And Dante's a vegan at that.
Wow.
So, he's a beast with the meal prepping and the workout.
I got to ask you this, because we know some of the old heads that were in the Y from the time that it transitioned from the old Homewood Y to the new Homewood Y, and this is in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. What did the old heads have to say once they saw you going through this, the guys that we always saw in the gym?
Yeah, it was amazing. Mr. Dusty.
Mr. Dusty, yep.
I ran into on a regular when I was working out and as I was going through the process, and he was amazed and happy. And cheered me on all the way. He's someone that knows what it takes to go through the process. So to watch me go through it and transform my body, it was transformative, not only for my body, but spiritually, mentally, both transformative and challenging. And he was there as a cheerleader the whole time, rooting me on and telling me the do's, don'ts, helping me out with different things to do within the gym and how to benefit the most from different exercises. So you pretty much have the community that know you, jump in and help where they can. And that's how we support one another.
Man, no, that's crazy, because that's paying it forward and then getting it paid back, because you laid that foundation years ago with the contributions and the help you gave to the community. Then it was your time to step up. Here they come back. It's your first competition? Got a first place? Come on, man.
Yeah, it was that. But, you know, as a true competitor, the first place was nice, but the second place doesn't sit well for me. So I'm gonna go back next year about this time and do it again. I have to get overall.
But hold up, that's second place in the open division. Yeah. So that's anybody. Yeah, you understand? Yeah, that's not even your weight class. Yeah, that's just anybody. That's exactly. Open, right?
Yeah. But I for us, there's no excuses. Next year is another year. I'll take this the rest of this time. Put some hard work in the gym. Go back next year and overall, my goals overall.
Man, see, that's what I'm talking about. That's Thomas Wallace. He's the executive director of the Penn Hills YMCA, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. If you get to Pittsburgh, make your way. Make sure you go up to the YMCA in Penn Hills. I almost said Homewood. In Penn Hills. Homewood. Yeah, either way, or Homewood. because then, you know, there's a brother that's about what he's doing. Now, let me ask you this, Thomas, before I let you go. You did the bodybuilding, so you took it to the next level. Absolutely. You got people like myself. We're just trying to lose weight, man. Like, what tips do you have for people that are just trying to maybe you get into the gym 3 times a week, maybe 2 times a week? That, for me, is not the problem. The problem is the food. Yeah. And I stopped eating meat. Yeah. So the problem is still the food.
Right. On that last point, before I go into any tips, I switched over to a pescatarian diet.
Mm-hmm.
The benefits that I seen were amazing.
And that's fish. Yeah, that's fish,
so
it's
vegetables. Pretty much a vegetarian diet, but you include fish and some people include dairy as well.
Okay.
But I switched over to that diet just for the health benefits primarily. So hereditarily, I suffer from hypertension. Through going through this process for, I trained for about 12 weeks, 13 weeks. And through training through this process, my blood pressure went down. So that was one of the things that convinced me. But what convinced me even more is after the show, like any true man that competes in this,
you're ready to eat.
Or lady, so ladies as well, you go out after that show. As soon as the show is over, all you can think about is eating. So I dove in, and there were family members who came over and bought me dishes after the show and all types of sweets and everything. When I woke up the next morning, I felt like I was waking up from one of the worst hangovers ever. And it was the food and the dairy.
Mm-hmm.
And when I had aches and pains, which I didn't have going through the whole process, and in talking to one of the gentlemen at the Y, he said, you know, I won't speak to the meat. He said, but I could almost promise you that the aches and pains that you're experiencing today that you didn't have were caused from the inflammation from the dairy products.
Wow.
And that was just enough to convince me to say, you know what, this needs to be a lifestyle for me. But so real briefly, I tell everyone, simple tips is move more and eat less. Now, having said that, that does not mean starve yourself. You have to figure out your macros, and there's a little more science that goes into it, but it starts with those basic tips.
Okay.
You don't gorge yourself on every meal. And if you really need some deep-rooted tips, come out to any one of your YMCAs that has a facility. There are excellent trainers at those YMCAs. I stand by them 100%. Reach out to me personally. I will connect you with the with whatever type of trainer you're looking for. We have them all. We're all throughout Allegheny County and Pittsburgh. So if you're out here and you're looking for a real way to get fit, and maybe shed some pounds, tone up, or whatever your goal is, we have trainers that'll help you meet those goals.
So how does someone reach out to you at the YMCA in Penn Hills and even the greater Pittsburgh YMCA?
Yeah, absolutely. So YMCAPGH.org, that's YMCA, the abbreviation for Pittsburgh.org. Under locations tab, you can find the YMCA that's nearest you. For me personally, my email is T as in my first name, Wallace, my last name, W-A-L-L-A-C-E, at ymcapgh.org is my email. And I can be reached at the Penn Hills YMCA phone number, 412-795-2600.
Cool. So what's next as far as the bodybuilding, more pro qualifiers in the future?
So next year, pro qualifiers. But right now I'm putting myself on hold. Like I said, this whole thing was transformative, not only for me, but for my family. So my wife is looking to do a show in April.
Your wife is going to do a show now?
She jumped on board. This will be her first one. Like I said, she jumped in and supported me, and she figured if I jumped in and did the diet and I went through the workout with him, why not step on stage? She made it her goal now to get on stage. So I'm taking the back seat. I'm going to help her with her preparation, be there, be that supporter and motivator that she was for me. And we'll get that done in April, and then I'll jump back on board for a November show next year.
So the Wallaces are going to continue the winning way. Thomas gets his first place, and then next up is the wife's going to get her first place. We're going to put that out there.
We're very much hopeful.
That's Thomas Wallace, the executive director of the Penn Hills YMCA, part of the Greater Pittsburgh YMCA of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I want to thank Thomas for joining us today. This is Talking Sports on Urban Media Today Radio. We're going to come back with some NFL football talk and a lot more right after this timeout.
Urban Media Today is your source for entertainment, news, sports, and lifestyle. It's your online resource for health and fitness, providing tips to decrease your heart disease or increase your good spirits. When you can't find who made the top picks in HBCU sports or what part of the country is most exciting or affordable to travel with the entire family, Urban Media Today is there to provide you with all that you need in just a click away. Log on to urbanmediatoday.com now. Find us on social media. Urban Media Today, your lifestyle information and blog website.
We're talking sports on Urban Media Today Radio. Trevin A. Jones here with Mr. Alan Lincoln and Mr. Vince Butts and Ray Porter Jr. We're going to go right into the NBA. Vince and Ray, two things I'm going to ask you guys about, and then I'm going to shut up because I talked a lot today. LeBron James getting kicked out of a game after playing 1,082 games in 15 years and never being kicked out of a game. And then the Grizzlies firing David Fizdale. Vince, I'll toss it to you first.
On the LeBron thing, I'm actually surprised that this is the first time he's gotten kicked out. Look, I like LeBron. You know, he plays for my Cavs, but dude is a whiner. And I, you know, I hate to see players whine about, you know, contact, a missed call, because at the end of the day, the stars get the star treatment. You can watch a game that LeBron plays in, and you're going to run out of fingers and toes about how many times he complains. And my biggest gripe is, while you're complaining, most times the other team is on their way down for a fast break, and your best player, in one respect, probably your best defensive player, is arguing calls, and he should be back on defense. It's a bad look to me that this is acceptable. And not saying that ejection. I mean, it's not a big deal to me. I'm just surprised that it took this long.
This is the situation with that game. Cavs are beating the Heat 93-70 with 1:59 left in the third quarter. LeBron is driving down court, and he feels like he's getting fouled all the way down court until he even takes the shot, and no call is made. So he turns around and swings in the air, literally swings in the air, and then goes over to the official, who was Kane Fitzgerald, and I guess had language that the official Fitzgerald didn't take kindly to. Fitzgerald called a tech and threw him out the game. Now, LeBron thought two technicals were called on him, but Fitzgerald said after the game that he only called one technical and tossed him. Ray, does he deserve to be tossed for that?
No. You have your moments. I mean, I don't even remember. Can any of y'all tell me if Jordan ever got tossed from a game?
I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember at all, but I remember when he had crosswords with the referee. I remember Charles Barkley, who probably got tossed from a dozen games, telling one of the referees with the mic on, you ain't gonna call that on me. I wish I would have seen the game. I was surprised to hear about it, and I think it might have fueled them as a team. No, I don't think he deserved it. LeBron's boiling over reminded me of the Hack-a-Shaq days when Shaq exploded one time, especially on live TV. They were like, Shaq, on live TV? He said, I don't.
Right.
But so it's just one of those cases where the referee just thought enough was enough, and he kicked him out. And now his name is in history. It's the first referee to toss LeBron James from a game.
Yeah, Kane Fitzgerald. That's his name.
Kane Fitzgerald.
Kane Fitzgerald. Now, the interesting thing about that, a little footnote, is that there's only two other players that have played as many games as LeBron and have not been tossed. Regular season games we're talking about. Tony Parker played 1,144, and Pau Gasol has played 1,139 games without being tossed. Moving on to the Memphis Grizzlies and their general manager, Chris Wallace, who made it clear earlier this week that star center Mark Gasol had nothing to do with David Fizdale being let go. Now, yeah, granted, the Grizzlies at that point in time were on an 8-game losing streak. But the thing is this. I think the key is that Fizdale, not taking anything from anybody, sat Gasol last Sunday while they were in the middle of the 8-game losing streak, and Gasol supposedly was upset about it.
They have a little history, and not good history. It's been reported that they've communicated very little in the last 10 months, according to USA Today. The benching may have been a tipping point, but this organization, they're stuck in the mud. We know that players drive the NBA, especially star players. Mm-hmm. A guy like Marc Gasol has been there. Why would he go anywhere?
Mm-hmm.
So, maybe the problem is Marc Gasol. I mean, maybe he didn't say explicitly, I need for this guy to go. But when your star player is not getting along with your coach, it's time for the coach to go.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the way it is. Unfortunately for Fizdale, he's stuck in a, that was just a bad situation. And I'm not sure what the issues were, why they, weren't communicating, because he has to know, if I'm my star player aren't on the same page, I'm out the door. I have to defend my reputation, so that's just a no-win situation.
A no-win situation for Fizdale. Fizdale right. Just took your team to the playoffs last year. What are you talking about? I mean, it's like, come on, man. He's a winner. Like, he got the team going. And you and I, neither one of us mentioned the fact that Michael Conley hasn't been on the team. That's why they've been in an 8-game losing streak earlier this week.
And they have other players out, too. I mean, Mike Conley not playing. How do you not play with your best player?
Exactly.
And expect to win.
Exactly.
That's it. Do that for any team. Take James Harden off the Rockets, mm-hmm. and the coach might get fired.
Nah, that's how drastic I get you. That's how drastic of a move that is, and totally don't agree with it. Because even some players, even like LeBron, was like, "Wait a minute, I need answers." This sounds like he was the fall guy.
No, right. It may not be the coach's fault, but it's a win. Yeah, you got to win for me now.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, it comes down to the coach getting the axe for something that may not be his fault.
Ray, what you think, man? I mean, should he have gotten fired? I don't see that.
No, he shouldn't have. And this is one of those cases where, like you said, lots of behind-the-scenes stuff that probably just rose to the crop. And the team used their 7-12 start as an excuse. And, you know, one thing, man, I didn't realize Gasol was still on the team. It seemed like you've been on there forever, man.
Right.
So, yeah, it's a shame when that stuff happens. But, you know, it's always that. I think it irritates me when you see that happen because they'll lump together with the losing season. Mm-hmm. They'll lump together. Now, what if they were 12-7? What if they were 18-4?
Mm-hmm.
And if he would have benched them, then what?
Mm-hmm.
So that's just really a shame.
Gotcha. Now, let's move from one team to another. The L.A. Clippers, man. Blake Griffin went down earlier this week with a knee injury to the same knee that he had surgery on. And it's said that he has a sprained MCL, and he could miss 2 months or up to 2 months. The L.A. Clippers, do they even have a chance now?
No. That was a team that I was thinking of where they lost Danilo Gallinari to a strained left glute. You sign, you know, these guys in the offseason expecting big things, and then they go down with injuries. They signed Milo Teodosic. He got injured. Patrick Beverley, who they traded Chris Paul for,
mm-hmm.
is injured. He's done for the season with microfracture surgery. Mm. And now, you know, Blake Griffin. I mean, I don't know. If you're the Clippers, I mean, it's been a few years. You remember they used to always say, you know, it was a cloud over the Clippers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with Blake Griffin, when he came on, they started to, you know, started to be a better team. And I don't want to say that cloud has returned.
Mm-hmm.
But, to me, their season is done. I don't even know who's left on the team besides DeAndre Jordan.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. What'd you think, Ray?
You ever watch Everybody Hates Chris, Mr. Omar, played by Ernest Thomas's character?
Mm-hmm.
He had a catchphrase when something crazy would happen. He'd say, tragic, tragic. And that is my definition of the Los Angeles Clippers. They're tragic. And you can also put a closed sign on their window, too, because their window is closed. They had their opportunities to win. Heck, they traded for a coach to get to the championship, and they still couldn't do it.
Right.
So their opportunities went out the door when Chris Paul left.
That's interesting because, you're absolutely right. I mean, where do you go from here? You traded away the bulk of your team because they were on a run years ago, playoff run, matter of fact. Yes, looked like they were going to be the new Showtime at one point. And you see how fast that lasted. So
that was injuries. It seemed like every year Chris Paul was getting injured.
Right.
Every other year, you know, Griffin was getting injured.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that injuries have just done this team in.
What we'll do is we'll take a real quick break, and then we'll come back to talk about the NFL.
Call RSG Financial for your bookkeeping, accounting, and tax service needs. Call 412-742-4345. RSG Financial provides accounting and tax services for business and personal needs. Call us or email MaryJo@RiversideSalesGroup.com. Riverside Sales Group is proud to be an organization with minority ownership. Call today, 412-742-4345.
So we're back, and we're talking NFL. Those initials stand for Ray Porter Jr. No, not really, but he's our expert.
We'll take it, though.
Yeah, exactly. He's covering the NFL for us. And, Ray, I know you're our in-house expert when it comes to the Pittsburgh Steelers, and we can never get away from talking about the Steelers. Why? Because they have one of the best records in the league.
Yeah, and as I always say, and I know you're waiting for it, so I'll say it, that if the season ended today, they would have the number one seed. But here's what gets me, though, gentlemen. Some of these stats are so stupid, if it's okay for me to say that. They have the same record as the Patriots, same conference record. Pittsburgh has the advantage because of strength of victory versus common opponents. Where did they get these stats from? Now, obviously, common opponents is divisional matchups, but it's just weird. Some of that stuff is just strange to me. They have the number one seed, and they're continue to try to defend that number one seed, especially leading up to the week the December 17th game when they face each other. So, you know, it is what it is. They are getting it done. And although sometimes it may not be the way that fans want them to get it done, they're winning.
Mm-hmm.
And best line I heard, in fact, it wasn't even from the Steelers. It was actually from your boy Cam Newton, Trevin. Mm-hmm. He said, "What would you rather want? An ugly win or a pretty loss?" And that win versus Green Bay, I was impressed on how they got it done.
Let me ask you this, man. The Eagles are the number one team in the NFL, 10-1.
Yes.
The Vikings, Steelers, and Patriots all 9-2.
Unbelievable.
And you say that I understand you don't like the records or the stats, the way they look at them, because you're going to comparison when you try to separate New England and Pittsburgh right now.
Right. They got people just come up, make up stats, man. I mean, it's amazing, but, you know, that's how they do it. It's like that, and that's the way it is.
What happened in Denver and Oakland? Are you kidding me? And we realized this a week ago, but, I mean, Aqib Talib, he is better than that. Is he trying to get into Michael Crabtree's head by snatching his chain every time he comes on the field?
Yeah, that was a bunch of foolishness. They both know better than that for veterans to be acting like they did. You know,
yeah, that was completely childish, and they have history. This dates back to last season.
He took his chain.
Took his chain.
Yes, last season.
I get that there's some gamesmanship, leading up to games. Talib's trying to punk him.
Well, let me ask you this: you say gamesmanship. That's no gamesmanship. Did you see the thickness of that chain around Michael Crabtree's neck? That you and I probably couldn't have afforded the chain. So, I mean, that goes beyond gamesmanship, don't you think? And he said he had taped it to his chest, his uniform, before the game.
I don't know if he admitted it, but Adam Schefter reported it.
Okay,
that he taped it. I was looking to find out if he admitted
Michael was
going to.
Okay,
I can't imagine someone would ever admit that. I guess he had to wear the chain. Like he didn't want to show him up, because because Talib says, next time I see him with that chain, I'm snatching it. So he felt like he had to wear it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. So yeah, to me it's just like childish moves on both parts.
Yeah, it was childish moves, but there's collateral damage, which I don't like. I mean, you guys get into the fight. And then Gabe Jackson comes over to look out for his player, his teammate. He runs into an official, and he gets suspended for running into the official, putting his hands on the official. He's just trying to protect his player, who's on the wrong sideline, because by this time they're on the Denver Broncos sideline. So he comes running across the field to protect him, and now he gets suspended. So that's collateral damage.
Yeah, that's just a shame that took place.
But this right here, no, that's not good for football. Come on, Talib. You don't want too far, man.
Two teams that are probably frustrated with their seasons, especially the Raiders. Weren't they supposed to be like the up-and-coming AFC team? You can stick a fork in them, and they put A1 on them.
So who is, if the playoffs was happening today, and we were down to the Super Bowl, who you got in the Super Bowl?
I'm going to go with Patriots and the Philadelphia Eagles.
Still won't give it to me, will you? All right, Ray, who you got?
See, now, it's a shame that I can't beat the fifth on this with the AFC, but it's okay. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying that. I'm just joking.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say a rematch of Super Bowl IX. Thank you very much.
Rematch of Super Bowl IX. Who is that?
Pittsburgh Steelers versus the Minnesota Vikings.
Man, you won't give it to me either, will you?
I thought about it.
I'm still saying that the Super Bowl is going to be an all-Pennsylvania Super Bowl with the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Philadelphia Eagles. We'll see what the big guy's going to say. Well, he won't give us a Super Bowl predictions, but he's got some predictions for us. So well, let's just go ahead and go into the predictions. Mr. Allen Lincoln, 15-3. Ray is 11-7. Ray's falling off. Vince is 13-5, and I'm 10-5. I missed the first week, so I'm 3 games behind everybody. But that's cool because my record's still going to look good. Anyway, last week, it was the Rams and the Saints, and we all got fooled because everybody picked the Saints, and the Rams won that one 26-0, so that's a loss for everybody. Then in the Packers and the Steelers, we all redeemed ourselves because everybody picked the Steelers, and the Steelers won that one 31-28. This is where it got interesting. And the Texans and the Ravens, and I remember this, Mr. Ray Butts Jr. said, "I'm going to step out, and the reason I'm stepping out is because I believe in Houston." Well, believe in Houston all you want, because they lost 23-16. Yeah. So Ray was the only one to pick up a loss in that one.
It's Ray Porter Jr.
did I say Ray? Ray Butts. I said Ray Butts Jr.? Yeah. Oh, okay. Oh, man. See, I'm thinking Ray's behind all of us. So I'm thinking Ray Butts.
Just call me the caboose, man. Just call me the caboose.
So Ray Porter Jr., excuse me. So this week, we'll start with the caboose. We have Minnesota at Atlanta. We have Philadelphia at Seattle. And we have Pittsburgh at Cincinnati. So we'll start with Minnesota at Atlanta. Ray, who you got?
I am very impressed with Minnesota. I mean, who would have thought that they would have stepped it up without Teddy Bridgewater and the departure of Adrian Peterson? And they just got together and got it done. So I'm going to predict that they're going to beat the defending NFC champions by a score of 24-17.
So Ray got Minnesota 24-17.
And I'm going to redeem myself and win all three of these games. That's okay, though.
Okay, we'll see. All right, Vince. I put you in the position of following.
I'm kind of afraid to follow the caboose. but I have to agree. I'm going with Minnesota. These teams stack up pretty close with their receivers. Julio, top receiver for Atlanta, Julio Jones, with just 253 yards. Can he do that again this week? I'm not sure, but Minnesota has Adam Thielen as his top receiver. Case Keenum and Matt Ryan are pretty close in their yardage and touchdowns. So I'm going to go a tight game, Minnesota over Atlanta, 28-27.
28-27. Vince goes to Minnesota. Allen Lincoln, the big guy. Who you got?
Well, this is easy. After following the two guys, you really should let me lead so they could pick after me. And it would be so much easier for them. Because I'm going with Atlanta. Atlanta will be at home. Minnesota, I'm not convinced that Case Keenum can be the quarterback that he on the road that he has shown at home. So I'm going to take Atlanta 21-14.
21-14 Atlanta. I'm going ATL. Why? First of all, Julio Jones, number 11. That's double-digit ones. Got to go with the number one. And then you got Matt Ryan on this hand, Case Keenum on the other hand. Matt Ryan, Case Keenum. Matt Ryan, man, you already know I'm going with Matt Ryan without question. Matter of fact, it'll be a high-scoring game, 35-28 in favor of ATL. All right, Ray, we're coming back to you. Philadelphia at Seattle.
Well, it's no secret, Trevin, that Philadelphia is the talk of the NFL, and there's a reason why. 10-1 speaks for itself, and they have new life with the quarterback, Carson Wentz. Not only are they just shutting teams down, they're having fun. And when you have fun, you're tough to beat. Now, Seattle represents the team. It's hard to believe that this team seems like the sun is setting on them because we knew that how dominant they've been over the years, especially in the NFC. The Philadelphia Eagles are going to win 30-20.
30-20? Okay. He's Philadelphia. Okay, Vince, who you got?
I'm going Philadelphia over Seattle. I think Philly is firing on all cylinders to win a 9 in a row, embarrassing Chicago last week 31-3. Seattle is kind of limping. You know, their secondary is missing Cam Chancellor. Richard Sherman is out. Earl Taylor is just coming back from a hamstring. I think Carson Wentz is going to feast on that defense. I'm going 35-24 Philly.
35-24 Philly. All right, big guy.
I'm taking Seattle 24-21. And by the way, just for just a little bit of information for my colleagues here, Philly has won 9 games, but they've all been 8 of the games have been against teams with losing records. So far this year, Philly has not beaten anybody with a winning record. So this will show when you go out and the 12th man gets involved out in Seattle. 24-21
Seattle. 24-21 Seattle. Gentlemen, always bet on black. Russell Wilson, Seattle Seahawks, leads the Seahawks to victory. The score will be 27-21 Seattle. All right, Ray, what you got? Pittsburgh at Cincinnati.
Pittsburgh is traveling to Cincinnati. A lot of times people even say Cincinnati is a home stadium for the Steelers, too, because they've dominated them there as well as at home. I do not believe that the Steelers are overlooking this team, contrary to all the media reports, thinking that the Steelers are overlooking them and the Ravens the following week. I believe the Steelers respect their divisional opponents, like always, and they're trying to wrap up the division, so they know they need to get a win. And it's going to be a score of 31-17.
31-17 Pittsburgh. Vince, who you got?
I'm getting real scared now. this shouldn't be a close game. Pittsburgh is far superior than Cincinnati. The Killer Bees, Antonio Brown, Big Ben, Le'Veon Bell, I think he's going to wreak havoc. I think Bell had, the last time they played, he had 192 total yards. I think it'll be some of the same. Cincinnati struggles running the ball, even though they have a nice young running back in Joe Mixon. But I don't think it's going to do him any good this week. I'm going Pittsburgh over Cincinnati, 34-17.
34-17, Pittsburgh. Allen, who do you have?
Well, I have Pittsburgh winning this one, but in a close game of 21-17. Pittsburgh just hasn't put all of the offensive pieces together yet, but they're good enough to beat the Bengals in Cincinnati, so I'm going with Pittsburgh.
Wow. So I'm going to go against the flow on this one. I'm going to go with the Cincinnati Bengals, and I'm going to go with the Bengals defense because you know why? Pittsburgh always seems to play down to the competition. Do you remember the game against the Indianapolis Colts 2 weeks ago? Pittsburgh won, but they barely won, okay? And that I just use that as my point. I'm going with Cincinnati. The score is going to be in a tough one. 21-17, that's the way for me to pick up ground or lose ground. But Ray's behind us, so I'm good.
The NFL stands for not for long.
So now this is where we will transition from the predictions to big words from the big guy, and then we'll close out the show.
Thank you. My question today is who can beat the Pats? Can anybody go out and actually beat Tom Brady and the crew? Well, Sunday night's game, Mike Tomlin said to NBC Football that he was thinking about the Pats. Now, many people criticized him for that, but you have to know that Mike Tomlin thinks about the Pats all the time. This is a problem that the Pittsburgh Steelers have had against Belichick and Brady since the beginning of time, because Brady's been around that long. So I started thinking about what teams could possibly beat the New England Patriots. The number one team is Philadelphia. Philadelphia, although their offense looks awful good, they've only beat 9 of their wins have been against subpar teams, teams that are under 500. But what Philadelphia has that nobody else has in picking is their defense. Fletcher Cox, Brandon Graham have just been outstanding against any offense that has come up. So Philadelphia has to have a little bit of an edge. Secondly, the team that you have to think about is the Pittsburgh Steelers because of Antonio Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster and Martavius Bryant and Le'Veon Bell and, of course, their quarterback Ben Roethlisberger. On the defensive side for Pittsburgh, Cam Hayward has had an all-pro season and has just been able to wreak havoc all over the place. And the two outside linebackers, Bud Dupree and T.J. Watts, have also been outstanding this year. So Pittsburgh will keep you in mind. The third team that I thought about was Minnesota. It's an unpredictable team, and part of that unpredictability comes from the fact that Case Keenum has been leading them through the last 7 games, which they've won in a row. But let's think about Minnesota. Minnesota is a team that can play defense and play defense and be consistently there to play great defense. They have good defensive line. Their secondary is outstanding. Minnesota, number 3. And my fourth kind of thought about who can beat them is the Los Angeles Rams. Now, I watched the Rams beat up on the New Orleans Saints this past week, and the New Orleans Saints had everything going for them, and out came the Rams and their defense with Aaron Donald and the rest of the crew just playing solid defense. So those are the 4 teams that possibly could beat the Patriots, but I'm a homer. So I'm going to say the Steelers will be the team that beat the Patriots this year in the AFC Championship game. So don't bet the house, but maybe a week's paycheck against the Pats.
So there you have it. It's Urban Media Today talking sports on Urban Media Today Radio. Trevin A. Jones along with Mr. Ray Porter Jr., Mr. Vince Butts, and the big guy, Mr. Allen Lincoln. Oh, join us next week because there's a whole lot more where this comes from, especially today with all the college football taking place and then tomorrow with the NFL. We're going to close out this show And we'll see you here next week.
Urban Media Today talks sports every week on Urban Media Today Radio, where you can listen in on free music and podcasts on our SoundCloud station at Urban Media Today. And for more information, log on to urbanmediatoday.com, your lifestyle, entertainment, and sports blog website.
What type of games being played? How's it doing there? I get up, all right?